been a long time, my friend.
Chantilly back in the house representing, man.
Back in the live studio. Oh, God, I hate everything about it. I hate everything about it already. Why has the headphone sound not been addressed in this place? I haven't been in here, I'm not exaggerating, 5 months since we last did a live show. It was probably me and Allison. I don't think it was you. When's the last time you did a live one?
Oh, it was probably in 2013, possibly 2012.
Yeah, it's been a ways.
One of those things, yeah.
These headphones still sound like it's the
very
voice.
It's tinny, yeah.
It's the voice of Hal.
Oh yeah, it really is.
A little better.
Yeah.
Like if there was a 1987 remake.
It's more like when I knew you in eighth grade, when you know you were starting to drop some essence of manhood. It really is like that. Yeah.
I remember eighth grade. I think I was the second to the ballsy voice party. I was pretty early, but there's a. God, you remember Cam Ham? Was Cam Jewish? What was his secret?
I don't know. People constantly got me confused with him because we're both brown guys with glasses.
Really?
This happened to me at a bar last night, actually. Some guy came up to me. He was like, hey, man, you ready for some beer pong? I was like, who are you? And it took him, and he's like, oh, you're not on my team. Lo and behold, someone who looked like Cam Ham and myself walked by, and I'm like, he wanted to talk to that guy.
I always wondered what Cam was. Like, I don't remember. I wasn't tight with Cam, but I don't remember, like, going to Cam's bar mitzvah. So, but again, I wasn't tight with him, so I wouldn't have gotten there. But
you realize the irony if he were Jewish and his last name were Ham, right?
Yeah,
you realize that's probably not
delicious.
Yeah,
I never did guess. It was like always trying to play guess as Cam Jewish because like he rolled with my Jewish friends, but that didn't make me Jewish. Look at my bank statements.
I would be stunned. I've never heard of a Jewish person with the last name Ham. That's too rich.
But his dad
rich.
Was a doctor or a lawyer. You know what I mean? So it was like in the pro column, we have that. In the last, you know, the con column, his last name Ham. I wonder what the hell happened to that kid who's now a 33-year-old man, but called a kid by me.
Google him, man.
Nah,
first name Cameron.
We literally, yeah, Cameron, like my favorite seafood joint down in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Cameron Seafood. I guess you could Google them. Maybe we get slightly better interwebs in this place. I'm taking off the headphones. Take off the headphones, Howard.
Why?
Liberate yourself.
All right.
Because we don't sound like robots to each other. Yeah. Although now, I hate having a real talk with you. Put them back on. This is as awkward as real life gets. By the way, let's do the show intro. This is an actual live Papa's Basement. I know that all the time we put on a pre-record that airs from Fairfax County Public Access, our home, the people that let us do a show to begin with. Stop texting. Pay attention.
I'm Googling Cameron Ham for you.
Really?
This is actually part of the show prep, I thought.
No. We can riff on Cam Ham without actually looking him up. Because what if he died or something?
No, I found him on LinkedIn, man.
Oh, Cam?
Dude, he's totally going to get blown up now because, you know, the millions of listeners to this radio show are all going to go, like, try to connect with him on LinkedIn now.
There's so many things wrong with that statement, factually, and just everywhere. No one will try to bug Cam. We don't have listeners. If we did, I don't think they'd care to bother Cam anyhow.
Well, I'll say this on air. He still appears to be alive, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Cam beat me to the punch. Cam was like the first guy who had the hairy legs come in and all that stuff. And then I remember we came back for eighth grade over the summer. And I was like, son of a bitch, Cam sounds like one of the teachers.
It was well worth it, actually. Back. I got to be honest, like the Sennheiser headphones are way better than these other ones that we've been wearing. So
really?
Oh, yeah. Eat it, dude.
Whatever, I'm stuck with them.
Yeah, you're stuck. I, however, like, I'm going to enjoy recording this episode, so.
I'm not. Again, on so many levels.
This feels so good.
InPapasBasement.com is the show's website. You want to get a hold of me, John Papa Giorgio, on Twitter. It's at Papa's Basement. Howard over there is at What the F and Heezy.
Can you say that on live radio?
You know, technically, I don't think so.
It's just my name.
Yeah, it's an initial.
Yeah.
There you go. That didn't work. Just like everything about this show won't. Why did we agree to do this live?
I wanted to make you uncomfortable.
Well,
I figured since I'm less frequently available, why not take a trip down memory lane to the live episode?
I forgot the magic of a live episode and how every one of them opens up with me bitching about the traffic. Because I'm always astounded. I'm always astounded. I'm still, to this day, what happened to me today, I left at 2, figuring I would get here 10 miles away, mind you, by 2:35, making a 5-minute pit stop. I'm not exaggerating the length of it. I got in at, what, 2:50?
About an hour before you.
To go 10 miles.
Yeah.
And everyone was so angry, Howard.
They're so angry.
The weather is beautiful for the first time in a couple weeks.
It's been a cold winter.
It's sunny. Like, people were out washing their cars when I left the neighborhood with still copious amounts of snow on the ground. It's a very surreal scene.
Yeah, there's a moronic line at the car wash over on Gallows. It's ridiculous.
Which I don't get because, first of all, who gives a crap what the temperature is if you're going to the car wash? If it's 10 below, it's not my hands getting cracked. Yeah. It's Jorge or whoever is wiping my fender.
I'm one of those people who would like to see that it's not going to snow anymore before I go get a car wash. However, I'm not doing it on Saturday, causing a traffic jam. Like, there was an insane traffic jam being caused over there. It's ridiculous.
Oh, because it's like 20 cars deep.
It's bleeding into an intersection so that people in the cross traffic cannot get through.
Not just that. There's still so much sand on the ground.
Do you think
because you went and washed your vehicle that this isn't going to get kicked up on you in 2 seconds?
Yeah.
It's like bathing a child and then just throwing him out to the world. Okay, roll in the dust as you were.
Yeah, at this point, it's probably just wise to wait for some spring rain. Similar function, I feel. You and I both drive Elantras. We're not really sporting the kinds of cars that people go
that
out.
That need a wash, I guess. And neither are 90% of the people getting that car washed today.
There were some dumpy cars in that line. I was very confused.
You're right. The car wash is a luxury. It really is a luxury. It's here is my car that is compensating for something, and I'm going to keep up its appearance.
There are places where you need it. Drier places. We get a lot of rain here, though. And we don't get that much snow.
Well,
so
what,
we're
you're talking like
zones.
El Paso, where it gets dusty and it just stays dusty?
You should probably like wash your car once in a while just so it doesn't come. Because it does corrode your car in certain places. Like, apparently saltwater air really corrodes your car, so I guess that doesn't actually help, though, washing your car in that kind of environment. But you do have to take care of your exterior for certain cars in certain environments, so.
This has become Goss's garage.
I know. I was just like, we need to have some sort of overlapping episode with them, you know? Like, remember when they used to do that on TV? You'd do one episode on one show and then flip and do the second half on a different episode. We could talk cars with those guys, no? They could just make fun of us for being morons.
I don't even know where Goss's garage is at this point. It might still be on JFK, for all I know, paying its money to stay on the air. I don't know if Pat Goss pays.
I'm sure people at JFK say the same about you sometimes. I wonder if that kid's still on radio.
Oh, I am. Not going anywhere. Oh, am I not going anywhere? Yeah, I couldn't get over how much honking and swearing outside, like through open windows, there was. It's, we get so angry. You think you'd be so happy that the spring is there?
Well, here's an interesting contrast. I came here from Pentagon City. It wasn't that bad. I mean, there was a bit of a frustration on 50 West. I was a bit surprised at how much traffic I saw going from Arlington through Seven Corners.
Bumper to bumper, whole way for me.
Yeah, so one of the things about Fairfax County, and this is a great platform to criticize the place in which you and I both grew up and the way that it's developed over the last couple decades, I have a real problem with the way that development has occurred around Chantilly, where you and I are both from. Now, I no longer live there. You still are in Chantilly. But to me, one of the biggest problems I have with development in this area in recent years is the commitment to developing the Dulles Corridor at the expense of everybody on 66 west of Falls Church. Like, it is outside the Beltway on 66. Everybody has just been dumped on for the last decade. And that's why everybody, I think, is so much angrier when you start looking at, 50 West all the way into Loudoun, 66 all the way to Manassas. These are not happy places. And a lot of it has to do with Tyson's Corner basically demanding that Metro Rail be built all the way to Dulles through Tyson's and Reston. So there are some good places to live in Fairfax, but all that money's being diverted from the place we grew up.
It's just so bad for quality of life. If you want to know what it does to the psyche, this is me after doing 45 minutes in traffic, showing up, and then having to crap out a show.
Yeah.
In 5 minutes.
But here's the thing, man. You didn't even, like, come here, like, within the last few years to buy one of these $500,000 homes in order for the privilege of sitting in that same traffic, you know?
No, I grew up in it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't as bad, like, in 98.
It got bad with September 11th, when people came to this area for the lovely jobs of, you know, killing Middle Eastern folk. That's when it got bad. Well, like, when they made the whole homeland security thing.
Well, a lot of people don't want to be here. It's just a byproduct of there's been several recessions since then. There's been a couple, and this last one's been pretty darn big, so.
What kind of just stunted, sick person actually comes here for the quote-unquote politics, I guess? Is that what we offer?
No.
There are weirdos who get a real chub on?
That used to be it. When we were kids, that was more the strange person who would come here and walk around acting as if they were kind of a big deal. It was a bit absurd. It's as they used to. They still describe
it this way. I watch Veep and I watch House of Cards, and these are people from all different backgrounds.
Yeah.
All different areas, and they come to D.C., and that's their jam. And I'm like, that's the kind of freak, I guess, that really enjoys it. And you're right. Now there's a second type that's far more prevalent, and it's like, I'm here because I can't live on $8 an hour. In Indiana.
Well, there's just not a lot of jobs in other places. For a lot of people, it's like, I cannot get a job where I'm from.
Yeah.
So
you come here for $12-$13 an hour.
Because it's a job, you know? I mean, good for Americans who are still of that mindset where it's, I would rather live a poor quality life in the Washington, D.C. area with a job than to stay in, let's say, Miami. Miami's just in the toilet right now. It's in the turlet. There's no jobs in South Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
Watch Scarface. there's a trade still a hustling and a bustling.
So, I mean, yeah, people are coming here and they're not happy about it. This is not their ideal situation. And you have more and more people finally moving into this area who are not all about, like, the House of Cards and Veep model, which I have to point out is not entirely accurate insofar as...
That I've learned everything in my life from TV instead of the people I should be living my life around because they're in D.C. with me. Continue.
No, I mean, it's a great caricature of the personality, but one of the things that's always been described about D.C. is that it's Hollywood for ugly people. And so the problem that I have with these television shows is that they cast attractive people to be on the Hill. And, you know, like, I gotta be real. A skin turn on Capitol Hill is not the same as a model casting call in L.A. And yet, when you go to some of these Capitol Hill bars, I was actually at a Cap Hill bar yesterday, last night.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people acting like they're the HBIC. There's a lot of females who are just like, I am hot. And everybody around here should know, like, it. And it's like, no.
In this area, an eight, an eight can make her own rules. I want nothing more than to introduce them to what real sexy is and show them, especially L.A., like you said.
It's bizarre because it's
that's
like,
what a 10 is. You, honey, on a good day, the makeup schlacked on. You're the Ocho.
Like, yeah, you're the hottest girl who came here from, like, a small liberal arts college in the Northeast. You know, it's just like, well, okay, so that translates well to D.C., but not to New York City as much. Not so much to L.A. or even Chicago. I mean, yeah. Good luck to you as you try to go to a major city that
you might see their legs 4 months out of the year, but they're going to be better when they come out.
So, yeah, no, this place, as far as it's been a political destination, is dwindling. What's nice is when I'm in D.C. now. Yeah, I live in Baltimore now, but when I'm in D.C., my girlfriend is based out of D.C.
Prettier city, Baltimore, on average, the broads.
No. No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
It's a hipster dump.
You don't like hipster broads.
What's that?
You don't like hipster broads, then.
I mean, there's this, like, tint of, like, recovering heroin addict to me when I meet a lot of women in Baltimore. So.
Wow.
Not to be a jerk, but, I mean, this is just, I still can't get this out of my head when I walk around that city. It's better than it was. I never thought 10 years ago I'd live in Baltimore ever, but it's a great place for me, personally, because there is more of an art scene. I was going to get back to the point about D.C. actually, for the first time in our lives, having somewhat of an art scene.
What art scene? Occasionally, I'll get things on Facebook where people are like, why don't you join the Comedy Writers of D.C. Facebook group? And it's like, they meet. You want to know everything you need to know. I believe it's like a monthly meet. and it's maybe 2 hours long, and it's all these GSs. That's not a cool abbreviation. It's just what government servant, like GS-13. That's your level and your pay grade. It's all these GSs who hate their lives, and they're never gonna they're never gonna S, but they're never gonna get off the pot either.
There's always a couple people. I've been to that once. There's always gonna be a couple people who really do have the talent to make it somewhere else, and that's still the key here. Somewhere else, like this is a transition for them if they really are serious about it.
But were they born here? Continue.
There's you know I people see come myself back here for all reasons. People. I'm on a different side. So you're looking at the comedy stuff. I look at the music stuff. And just contrasting the DC music scene versus...
Which hasn't been relevant since 80, when it had hardcore punk.
I'm not talking about, like, what's on radio at this point. I'm just the
hardcore
idea.
Was never, like, on radio, but it was there was an underground scene. Like, nationally, people were like, oh, that DC scene. I don't think that's existed since.
It's still a bit of a hobby at this point in DC. Like, people aren't using... music right now is a leapfrog to go record in L.A. or New York or any signed to a label.
Yeah, I think everyone here escapes up to New York.
That's the easiest destination.
Like, especially, we're known... Look, I guess Atlanta's way, way blacker now, but for the longest time, we were known as Chocolate City. And it's like, why did we have zero hip-hop scene? And I'm sure someone from the area will be like, oh, well, such and such act did this. No one really gives a crap about DC hip hop. It's not known.
Go-Go's the best that we really are.
Yeah,
Go-Go.
It's like our weird little regional music. If you want to Google or look up on YouTube, Go-Go. Like everything you look up on YouTube where you do Go-Go and something pops up and you click on the video, it'll have maybe 5,000 views. And that was a massive Go-Go success.
I think one of the best.
It's like Zydeco down in it. Hell, that's. At least I know what Zydeco is, and that's tied to that whole New Orleans region. I'm sure they don't know what the hell Go-Go is.
There's a Go-Go version of that Ashley Simpson song. That
yeah,
probably got the
of
most
me.
Mainstream.
That was the best thing I've ever heard out of Go-Go.
It was the most mainstream for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, in terms of like, I can see this getting play.
I've never heard it outside of DC, though.
You never will. You never will.
But it's a good sample for those of you who are not in the DC area, who've never heard it. Check out Pieces of You, Go-Go.
Yeah, if you want to hear what will be playing in a club that you might be fatally stabbed inside or in front of,
that was
put on a
Go-Go ago.
Song. Whatever. Whatever. I can't tell you how many times the local Fox affiliate will go to break with like, and another stabbing at a Go-Go club. It's just, you know, it's just the white anchor. And he's like, that's code for black club.
Let me tell you the number one difference between the DC and Baltimore scenes. I'm not talking about quality of music. I'm not talking about style of music. I'm talking about the lifestyle that's afforded to the people who are trying to do music live at the various venues for live music. The problem with DC is, as you pointed out, everybody has a GS or like 2 to 3 jobs that they have to piece together just to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I meet people in Baltimore who are musicians, they're pretty much close to being full-time musicians. They'll have a part-time job.
It's like the Scandinavian countries where literally if you want to do like pursue the arts, you just click on a like a little online checkbox like I want to go on the dole. And that's it. You're pretty much given a living wage.
It's very
to be
smart.
Bohemian.
I don't know if you're aware of the Swedish program, but one of the most genius things
that
they
do. That might be what I'm talking about. Continue.
They pay like 18-year-olds, essentially, who play music to go tour in South America and possibly even the United States. Yeah, there's a way to get a funded New World tour from Sweden. If you're a Swedish citizen like, and you have a band, they will pay you because they know like the best thing that can ever happen out of this is that the next ABBA or who sang The Sign? What is that
Ace
group?
Of Base.
So they want people to
succeed.
Shouldn't
have answered so quickly. Continue.
Because that's... They're socialists, so if you ever have a multi-platinum...
They'll tax them to pieces.
The second ABBA went platinum, they're just like, how do we become American?
Oh, yeah. They were losing what? I'm not kidding. 97% of what they made.
Yeah,
maybe 98. I mean, can you imagine that?
It's one of
your
the reasons
ABBA
that...
And, like, a successful lawyer over here is cleaning about what you clean.
Yeah. No, well,
I had to be. I mean, that math still doesn't work out. But
yeah, recording artists are not
in the
as well
70s.
Compensated.
In the 70s, like even 2% of what ABBA made—that's
true—must
have been a sweet chunk.
Yeah, it's amazing how little the music industry is making
Bjorn
now.
Bjorn and Agnetha and whatever the hell their ugly Scandinavian names were. Oh, good-looking people, ugliest names. Florndon Bjordan. If you're into the tall blondes, though, that's about it.
Is that Robin chick? Is she Scandinavian? Call your girlfriend. Call your girlfriend. Do you know this? No?
No.
All right.
Robin?
Robin, call your girlfriend.
If Robin is who I think it is, she's either American or a Brit.
Okay. Yeah, because she had a pop song like 15 years ago that I also don't really know very
short-haired
well.
Short-haired blonde, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at that. Dumpy. Dumpy. That is American or British all the way.
All right.
Oh! Oh!
Where's she from?
Oh, well, Mr. Winner.
Was that right?
Put on your winning cap.
Where's she from?
Sweden.
You're welcome.
Stockholm, Sweden.
Because, yeah, what about, what's that other group? Roxette, where are they from?
Roxette is Swedish. I know that one off the bat.
Did you know why they disappeared off the face of the earth? This is actually a messed up story.
Why did they get, like, is it one of those weird, they got into a tour bus crash and they're paralyzed for a while? Like Alien Ant Farm?
Kinda.
Really?
The female vocalist from Roxette had a brain tumor.
Wow.
And so they removed it and treated it, but after the surgery, she couldn't talk. And so she had to relearn how to speak.
Oh, God.
And so, yeah, like, they still perform now, but I guess the big labels just basically churned and burned. They don't want them around anymore. So they're just, like, fighting to remain in music independently because they love music that much. That despite all their success now being kind of poo-pooed by the industry, they're still going to go forward with it because she worked so hard to learn how to speak again.
Wow. 03, they got the WMA. I'm guessing that's VMA over there because
okay.
the weird W is V and
yeah.
V is F.
Volkswagen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very bizarre way of speaking over there. Yeah, it looks like they won a couple WMAs in 2000, 2002, and 2003, and then it just stops. Oh, World Music Awards. I shouldn't have clicked on that. It took the funny way out of it. Video Music Awards sounds way better. It's so weird, because that's an artist. I want to say almost the rest of the world doesn't just crush and crap on and love diminishing the people who have achieved like we are. Like, in Sweden, if you had a couple of hot hits in the early 90s, I want to feel you're still kicking ass in Sweden. That's how right. I believe it works. I could be wrong.
I think that's how it works for them. I think Scandinavia is actually quite tolerant in many ways. I have a friend who recently told me that I think it's Finland, where they promote a gym culture that's very different from the American one. And so instead of, I'd say, like, what?
Does heterosexual sex take place in it?
No, but it's all generations, basically. So it's not unusual to see really, like, a much older crowd at a gym, whereas in the United States and Australia, typically you see it's predominantly, like, young women between the ages of 18 and 25 are the biggest demographic for gyms.
Okay, I'll go along with that. I think there's a lot of older women who got divorced who are trying to polish a turd.
But yeah, exactly. Like, there's this pressure for, like, women to look fit and young mm-hmm. is, like, the goal of... That's the biggest demographic for gyms in the United States.
What hellhole country is that absent from?
In Finland, a lot of people complained about the like international juggernauts that dominate the scene from like capitalist countries like the United States, where it's like, hey, they're really pushing this type of image that isn't really something that fits me. We want this to be a more broad-based participatory.
It's ironic because they are a nation of 90-pound blonde women.
But... You should be able to go to the gym if you're like a 90-year-old man and you want to lift those little weights just to stay healthy. Like, this is kind of, it sounds nice to me.
On occasion. I mean, I know what you're saying.
But it's like all of them do it. It's basically like everybody should go to the gym. It should be a place that we all go. And it's not just for ogling at the women who don't eat.
God bless those women. God bless them. Cheap to maintain and they look tight.
So, yeah, I think they actually do have a bit more of a continuing support for groups like Roxette, whereas in the United States, it's just like, well, half your face can't move symmetrically with the other half, so we're not going to put you on TV anymore.
Who would want to see that? I'm going to stick up for the old USAA on this one. Who wants to see? She used to be like this foxy, like she always had the Susan Powder hair.
Get out of here, man, because music is all about listening. Like, why on earth do you have to look at her sing?
Well, I'm not going to say that Roxette was good musically either, or that I ogled her that heavily. I remember when Joyride came out. I think that was like the same like summer with Divinyls, I Touch Myself. Or that was a year later.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think their music is pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. But I think they kind of understand that they were just trying to stroke a need for pop music.
It was dumb pop. It was fine. Yeah. I do remember when they blew up over in America. There was like, What About Love?
No.
That was pretty big. But Joyride was the video I saw all the time.
I believe the song is called It Must Have Been Love.
Oh, okay.
But It's Over Now.
Yeah. Must Have Been Love, but It's Over Now. Yeah, you're right.
Now, I mean, the thing with them that I enjoy is they kind of knew what they were going for. And her voice is fantastic. That's the one thing where I would encourage her to continue to record as long as she sounds good. I haven't heard one of her, like, more recent recordings.
It was like her and that dip-ass brunette dude.
Who wrote all the songs. So he wrote the music, and then she belted it. Is basically their
dumbest hair.
Oh, their hair was terrible.
Dumb Robert Smith mushroom hair. He looked like Robert Smith minus the lipstick. Let me look him up to see if I'm recalling this correctly.
But they had a good sense of humor about their model. You know what their greatest hits album is called?
What?
Don't Bore Us, Get to the Chorus.
One, that's good. Two, why would I have known that?
No, the first time I heard it, I'll never forget. I'm just like, you have to have a good sense of humor about like what it is that you did as a musician, if that's the title of your greatest hits album. Have you seen this video?
That should be the title of the podcast. Just Don't Bore Us. Get the F off the air now.
Have you seen this? There's an interview with Dave Grohl conducted by KG from Tenacious D.
I have not seen it. But
have you heard of this? So KG asks Dave Grohl, you know, you're a hit maker, man.
I like Cage getting his due, by the way.
He's like, how do you do it, Dave? How do you do it, Dave? They're swearing it, so we probably shouldn't play it here. But he just points out, like, you know, I don't pay for this mansion by writing things that I'm feeling. Like, it's got to pay the bill. So he's like, the main thing white people dance to is the chorus. So just keep repeating the chorus. Throw in the occasional pre-chorus. But you want to write songs like Aerosmith. And he said, think of an Aerosmith song where you know the verse. You don't. You just know the choruses.
I can hum the verse.
Is that why that song is popular, though?
No.
Yeah.
I'm trying to walk. Yeah. Ragdoll. Try giving me a word outside of the chorus of Ragdoll. And hell, try to give me the chorus to Ragdoll itself. You can't even do that. You can just go, Ragdoll, da-da-da-da movie, Hot Tramp, Daddy's. And that's it. Something about the back door, Ragdoll. That's it.
And loving an elevator, same
living
way.
It up when I'm going down.
Yeah.
And loving then an elevator, something, something, hit the ground.
I thought, like, Janie's Got a Gun was, like, a more complex and, like, deep song. But that was the one that Dave Grohl actually cited where I'm like, yeah, that really is just a chorus over and over and over again, isn't it?
No, it does have a weird structure. Screw him on that. It kind
of... But from the get-go, it's just like, Janie's got a gun.
Yeah. Which isn't... Okay. Saying the name of the song over and over does not a chorus make. It was a weird structure to it.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Like, you know, a really famous song, and when you analyze the structure, it is completely fascinating. Don't Stop Believing. That is a song that just builds and builds and builds, and when does the quote-unquote chorus kick in? The song's done, practically.
It's
just the last 45 seconds is Don't Stop Believing.
It's a
hang on to that feeling.
It's like a classic four chord song. You haven't seen that Axis of Awesome video where that's the classic example of a song that just uses the same chord structure that is recycled in most pop music.
They don't say Don't Stop Believing until the end. I stand by it.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, it's the same chords over and over again.
Okay,
like, throughout the entire
I barely know what chord is. Is that when you hold different strings on a guitar and you strum it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could actually play the Axis of Awesome thing online.
What is Axis of Awesome?
Wait, can you? I'm trying to remember if they... No, you can't. They actually do cuss in that. They're a parody group from Australia where they're a comedy rock band, as they call themselves.
I hate it already.
The one thing they've done that's pretty good is the four-chord song. Because
comedy
they just
rock.
Show...
That's like Nice Dump Ice Cream. I like them apart, but...
They've got very limited range. But some of the things they've done are pretty funny. Like that Frey song, How to Save a Life.
Yeah, I remember that.
They do a great spoof on that. Because one of their instructionals is how to kill a hooker, which is pretty funny.
That doesn't rhyme.
But step one, drive to a shady part of town. You know, it's ridiculous. You can pull that one up, man. I don't think that one has any cursing.
No, I've somehow in the back of my head, I've gotten into Billy Idol. That's what I'm thinking about. Maybe the Roxette chick looks too much like him.
They really did have the same hair.
They did.
Yeah.
That's that kind of Susan Powder. No, she was a little more buzz cut. They both had Kurt Warner's wife hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor Kurt. Poor Kurt. He could have done so much better.
Whatever, man.
I know he's all happy and Jesus-y with her, but no.
She was there for him when he was bagging groceries.
Yeah, that is what she looks like. A grocery bagger's wife. He was a quarterback.
Dang.
Who won a Super Bowl.
That's I think Marshall Faulk won that Super Bowl for him, but anyway.
He has a ring. You know what I'm saying? And he got to
so
two
does
others.
Trent Dilfer.
I'm sure Dilfer is pulling a little better than old Spike Zilla. Old Stegosaurus hair.
Interesting. I don't know if that's true.
That was a great line. I remember they were on Stern. They had Norm Macdonald. It's one of those famous The E! Show episodes. And they're interviewing Norm, and he's going on about how he was a garbage man to start off with, and then he got big in comedy. And, of course, Stern, being who he was back then especially, he's like, well, is your wife hot? And Norm, without missing a beat, he's like, well, she's hot for, like, a garbage man's wife. It's just so perfect. He did not care that he would be going home to the S-storm of S-storm. He was so honest. He's like, yeah, I could have done better if I got a wife while I was hosting Weekend Update. Sure.
Yeah.
As far as a garbage man's going to pull, I did all right. To this day, God bless that man. So what did we want to do? Outside of this, because we got.
You had a. Did you not make an outline? I thought you made an outline when I wasn't looking.
I had traffic, and I had one other item.
Let's avoid traffic. I mean,
well, no, we did the traffic break. That's right. It. We talked about how angry people are, and I could have gone on about the fact all of my tickets are in hot weather, and I think it's because I'm like no better than a dog. I just want to roll down the windows. And I equate going faster with more breeze in my face.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I never have picked one up in anything outside of a summer month. I swear to Christ on that. I'm such a dope.
I do dislike that I'm slowly moving toward my mid-30s. And I am concerned when I get on the other side of 35, I'm going to end up back in Fairfax.
You, out of everyone, seem to escape this area the most, but maybe
I keep yo-yoing back.
Yeah,
why am I here again?
I don't know. This smiling face right here, these pretty white pearlies.
Yeah, the salary you're paying me these days is just beyond belief. Let me tell you,
I will not be paying for lunch today, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just put that out there in terms of salary. Yeah. You don't even get the free food today. I already had to compensate Allison for her 1 hour of work with a delicious payway bowl.
Heyway.
I wanted to do Oscars. We haven't. I know it's like 2 weeks late at this point.
I did watch them this year, actually. So we could
I did
do
not.
This.
I know oh, the news from it.
Where do you want to go with this? Let's see.
I'll tell you exactly where I want to go.
I think I know.
No, you don't. You all think right. You know, but if I were a dick, I would complete that. Sorry. It's what was that from? People used to just say it online all the time, and it was an MTV thing. I don't know. And I was just like, I hate you. If any chick had that in any of her profiles, like, you think you know, but you have no idea. I'm like, I know exactly. You're a dumb pump. Let me complete the thought for you. You're a dumb pump, and I hope I'm going to hit some pay dirt when I flip through your MySpace photos, because you're too stupid to make your profile private. You strumpet. I wanted to talk about Jared Leto, or Leto. Is that where you
had
your
money? Oh, I missed the first hour, yeah. I missed... the supporting actor. Are you talking about the way he looks at the award show or in the movie?
What, are we going to get into the fact he's aging better than Tina Turner did? What?
I don't know. I just like...
He has the hairline of a 20-year-old Mexican boy?
He has a strange... I don't want to...
I guess he'd be an adult at 20. Let's say 14.
He's just got this like strange hairstyle to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd kill for it. He has this hairstyle called no receding hairline. I don't mind. He also has the hair of Jim Carrey in that damn Steve Carroll movie he just did, the Burt Wonderstone. He kind of has the Burt Wonderstone Jim Carrey hair. But Jesus, dude, I fight the balding fight daily. I got a little going from the front now, the very front. I got my widow's peaks pulling back. Why are people so dumb about what makes someone look young? They're like, oh, Jared Leto looks so young. Because his hair has not receded a lick. He still has a child's hairline.
Yeah.
In terms of your face, do you know how far gone your face has to be? Like, just stay thin. If you stay thin and your hair does not recede, you'll look the same until you're like 50.
That's what I'm hoping for. Sorry, man.
Like, if you don't gray, and graying you can just die. So
right,
that is what it is.
That's the easiest one.
And if you don't maintain facial hair, you're not going to have that like old dog muzzle look. But that's the secret to not looking aged.
I think being half Asian helps too, so.
It helps. I guess. I don't know. It's a crapshoot. Like
black don't crack.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're Asian, I get the feeling you look fine until you're 60 or 50. Or, yeah, let's say 50. And then just tires, I don't even want to say come off. They fly off.
The osteoporosis concern is the biggest problem for, like, full-blooded Asians.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Is that why you guys get all hunchy?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Asians shrink a lot, yeah. Like, that's why, like, you meet old Asian people and they're, like, really small.
I thought that was, like, just something they picked up from watching old Kung Fu episodes. They're like, oh, I got the big 5-0 on my birthday cake. Time to hunch and grow like an old beard that I can stroke.
Nope. Yeah, I got to watch my calcium count. So,
no kidding.
Especially as I get older.
No kidding.
But between now and 50, I will probably not look very different from the way I look now.
You have that hairline. Your hair.
It's probably not going to recede. I hate to like tell you this on air, but it's starting to gray, if that's any consolation.
No, not really.
All right.
You really, who died last year and now his little annoying son's in power in the north?
Kim Jong-un, yeah.
You have the hair of ill.
Oh,
of the senior.
Of the dad, yeah. That's why I try to crop really it short because it's really, it's a little wild when it gets long.
You really just have like a pompadour.
Yeah, I really
just
do.
Naturally. It's just naturally thick and black and greasy.
Which
just
was always.
Scoop it back.
Always annoying in my teenage years, and yet as I get onto the other side of 30, I realize like it is a good problem to have.
You would have been like the best pop idol in Korea in 72. You could have written your rules over there. Sometimes,
actually, no, they were pretty racist over there back then. Like they're still racist, but they were
what
way
they
racist
would have
back
they would
then.
Have stoned you for being a half breed.
You know where I'd be popular? Japan. They love Korean men.
Really?
Yeah, they love Korean men.
Japanese broads.
It's like white
cool.
ladies and black men in this country. It's the same thing. Like, if I went to Japan right now, I would be the forbidden fruit.
I thought it cut the other way. Wasn't it the Japanese that went into all these countries and hacked them up?
Well,
yeah, so you're
so
telling me,
like,
Israeli broads are just, like, really into Nordic dudes?
Who?
Israeli broads. Would they be, like, way into German guys?
Oh, that's messed up, man.
No, I'm just I mean, that's the thing.
Sorry, like, it took me a minute to put that. I was like, what are you getting? Oh, that's what you're getting at. Dang.
Yeah. Tell me about my grandpa's
No, that's
teeth.
Different. I think that's different, man, because, like, there was so much integration between the Jews and Germans. That's what Yiddish is, I thought. I thought it's just the hybrid of German and Hebrew a little bit.
It is.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's, like, quite a bit of, like, admixture of blood there anyway.
I suppose. I don't really know. I am sorry. I was going to make an Inglourious Bastards reference, and then I completely Christoph Waltz. That's what I was looking for. Look at me. We can punch out. What I was trying to say, going back to the whole Oscars thing, and yeah, everyone's just nuts for Jared Leto. They're like, he hasn't aged. He looks great. Look up the one where he dressed as Mark David Chapman. There's a role he gained something like 80 pounds for.
Wow.
It was such a damn dud, that movie. Like, De Niro's been a fat mess ever since Raging Bull. Like, he never got in shape after Raging Bull.
Right.
You can say what you want. De Niro was never Taxi Driver De Niro, where he had that weird crest of chest hair. He was never that again.
Right.
But Raging Bull's a masterpiece. I guess Jared Leto managed to recover, but I would be livid if I destroyed my body like that for nothing. I mean, what I'm trying to remember here. Let's look up the name.
It was a poor choice on his own part because he read the script and he believed in it, and he picked
Chapter 27. Here you go.
It doesn't have to be a critical success.
Can you see?
Just, was it any good? Did you see this movie?
I heard it was the biggest piece of crap.
All right. I mean, that's
his bad. I heard it was it was Time Cop level bad.
Wow.
You know what? Time Cop was better. Why am I crapping on Time Cop?
I was actually like, I suspect I enjoyed Time Cop more than I would enjoy this movie that you showed me with Jared Leto.
I enjoyed more from just the commercial for Time Cop where you have the muscles from Brussels himself doing his little split jump to dodge a bullet that was aimed for his crotch or something like that. That alone was very acrobatic and cool. What I'm getting at, Jared Leto got his, was it supporting actor award for playing a transgender individual by the name of Ray Lean, if I recall, in the Dallas Buyers Club movie.
Yes.
I like how I said that, like it could be anything else. Like the Metallica movie. As opposed to the Metallica band. There is no Dallas Buyers Club anything else. Maybe the actual Dallas Buyers Club. Like, it's some now-defunct AIDS medicine ring.
Well, the script took forever to produce. Apparently, the guy that it's based on was interviewed in the early 90s by the actual screenwriter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wrote several versions of the screenplay, over the course of the last two decades. And it's taken a long time to get anybody to do it, so...
Well,
it was really supposed to be timely with the AIDS epidemic.
Oh, and now we've like beaten AIDS more or less.
But
like,
now
like
it's
you get
become,
it, you're just on a regimen of pills that gives you diarrhea.
It's strange because it's just this movie is now almost like a time capsule because it was written so long ago when AIDS was actually this scary thing for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, I did not realize that.
Yeah. No, that's why I think it was able to capture this like interesting story that people may not have been aware of because somebody had been fighting to get this out into the mainstream for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
weird seeing Squire at the window.
It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been a ways. I'm sure he's just like,
this guy.
Why is he here? I miss having an empty studio to come into. Now Squire's waving. We love you, Squire. What got me is there was apparently, and we're talking minorities within minorities within minorities, but Jared Leto, I still don't know how to pronounce his name, don't care to. I'm not a 14-year-old girl watching my so-called life. Don't care about Jordan Catalano. He plays this transgender chick, because he wants to gender identify as a girl, so he's a girl. That's fine by me. I don't really care.
Okay.
But there were several articles I then found don't know how I found them. Apparently, I was browsing trannies today or transgenders today. Several articles about how offensive his portrayal of transgenders, a transgender chick was. And someone referred to it as a transgender mammy role. And they were going on about what an anus he was in the movie, and he was like bratty and just, I think he goes begging to daddy for money at some point for the operation, and the dad's like piss off, and they were going on, they're like, why isn't there a broader range of roles for trans individuals in Hollywood? Why is this all we had, and it wasn't actually played by a trans individual? It was played by someone, you know, pretending to be trans. Isn't this just as offensive as someone in blackface? Or, you know, you can think about the Sharks and the Jets in, West Side Story, where they just painted white dudes to be Puerto Ricans.
I've never heard anyone criticize, say, Patrick Stewart portraying a gay man in film roles, you know, that kind of thing where, and conversely, like, gay actors are constantly asked to play straight people. So, I mean, I guess the transgendered question is a little bit different, but I think the whole idea of acting is playing a role that you may not actually be.
Well, that was the director's reply, I believe. And yeah. I guess the author was kind of getting his or her or whatever panties or boxers or who knows what was wearing what in this scenario and what they had underneath those garments. I really don't know. But they're all worked up because the director was like, are there even transgendered actors, I don't really know.
Let's put it this way. So you want to talk about Jared Leto's career. He has a band, I guess, that has like at least one gold record.
Yeah, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah, so let's look at them. How many transgender
gold
records?
Has he really been to Mars? Exactly.
But no, like how many transgendered music acts are there?
I don't know.
Honestly, like I saw an interview with RuPaul. This is one of the first times when I was a kid.
RuPaul still got her junk.
When I was a kid, I saw an interview with RuPaul, the guy behind RuPaul.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just talking about, hey, listen, I got to tell people I'm not transgendered. Like, it's for show. I'm a drag queen. He was, like, being really emphatic about it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And at the end of the interview, it might have been on Oprah, she asked, but you're gay, right? And she's like, and he said something like, queerer than $3 bill. I can't remember what he said. Yeah. But he laughed. He's like, are you kidding? Like, do you know?
Look at me.
Are you listening to like the words out of my mouth? Basically, like it was the first time in my mind I realized that this was two separate things. You know, I was like 13.
Yeah.
But I hadn't really processed in my mind at that point.
You just thought you were both at that time.
He's the closest.
Really,
in
nothing
pop music.
For that. Continue.
But RuPaul's the closest that we have to like a transgendered pop star.
Well, yeah, we're not Cambodian. God knows what goes on over there. So, I walk through the Vietnamese mall sometimes. They love them, a tranny-looking singer.
I understand where whoever these people are who wrote these articles, where they have some
well, they were just so livid.
For the situation.
Yeah.
But is it Jared Leto and the movie's director's fault, or is it perhaps a problem they have with American society?
Well, first, I was pissed because what? Just because he acted bratty in the role and wasn't really a noble figure or anything like that. Why? Every transgendered person is like Christ on the cross. I mean, you can't tell me there's some real pieces of crap who are also transgendered.
I mean, my curiosity would be, I don't know enough about how the script was written, but it was based on a true story.
That character was invented. I know that much. And also,
oh, really?
I think
okay.
McConaughey was bi. Like, that character was actually playing for both teams. And so okay. The whole crux of the I'm straight, but I have AIDS thing really wasn't the truth in real life. But again, that was something I picked up from the article. I know I've heard from multiple sources that the whole Jared Leto role was completely messed up or made up. I was just mad, though, because do they not look at Hollywood and see how typecast and hard it is for minorities to break in already? And it's like, well, we have to demand more roles. Like, an Asian dude has to be like, I can't be a romantic lead. And now a chick with junk wants to be one? Like, Jesus Christ, let Jackie Chan kiss a white broad on a movie poster before we get a broad with equipment on one, okay?
This is where I get to vent about Harold from Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
Having to play Sulu. A Korean dude playing a Japanese character
because that's it.
In Star
we're,
Trek.
We're
that's
out
it.
Of Asians.
Yeah.
We have him and Bobby Lee from Mad TV. That's it. Yeah, really, how many Asians are there in Hollywood?
Yeah, and you know what? I think a lot of roles don't have a race put in front of them. But you know when you show up for that casting call, you're not going to get it.
It's so, so bigoted. Absolutely.
You're not exactly what we had in mind. Thanks.
Yeah. Why wasn't Clerks made with like a black dude? You know what I'm saying? Just like even that point. And of course, Kevin Smith would be like, I'm not racist at all. And it's like, yeah, you know, you're maybe not, but like, why couldn't Dante and Randall just be black dudes? Right. It might appeal to a whole different audience.
Or even Jay. Why not Jay?
Yeah. Exactly. Why do we... Jay's more offensive than blackface. You're right. Why couldn't Jay have been a black dude, for Christ's sake? Toss a brother a bone, man. I guess we can punch out. We're at the 50 mark, and I want to let Squire have the time he's accustomed to at this point.
Yeah, come on, man. Be honest. You know you're just getting tired of being on live air right now.
No.
We'll punch
out.
We That's
actually
fine.
Got a show rolling right at the end. We're punching out right where things got okay. That article did blow my mind.
Hey, I mean, it was worth reading.
I guess everyone has their line to toe. Everyone has their agenda. I suppose that's it.
I'll tell you this. The one story I'd like to hear told from a transgender perspective is like Baltimore in the 60s. I heard it was actually one of the top destinations at a time when it was pretty hard to be transgender.
That is bizarre. They have John Waters to thank for that.
Exactly, yeah.
You've made it through Papa's Basement. Congrats. Achievement unlocked. I am John Papa Giorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter. Over there, we have Howard. He is at What the F and Heezy on Twitter. InPapa'sBasement.com is the show's website. Go there for all of our episodes. They go up every Monday and every Thursday. And if you do iTunes, look up Papa's Basement over there. That helps a lot if you subscribe and give us a good rating. We are out. Howard, anything to say?
Nope, I'm good. I'm out of here, man.
We really are out.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis. Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.
How it's going to work exactly, and whoever, you know, the loser is for that week will have to put in the most. And then whoever wins has to put in none.
Okay.
And then we...
Is it weight loss? How are we going to measure
that? Yeah, like by percent, I think.
Percent?
Yeah, because
percent
Joel,
I can handle.
Yeah, because Joel has the least amount probably to lose.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's looking for a couple pounds.
Like 50, 60.